This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
Amen. We are in a series called Kingdom Powers. And, you know, the Bible says that if you are saved, you've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness, and you've been placed into the kingdom of God's dear Son's love. Amen? And so there's two kingdoms operating on this planet. And thank God that we're part of the kingdom of light. Amen. But I'm going to say this, even though there's two kingdoms operating, they operate and their systems of operation are opposites. And we've been discovering that. And let's focus on the main verse of the series. And we're going to look at today, because today is Healing Sunday, sickness versus healing. And I think it's going to be a good message today. But let's look at Matthew 6:33. It says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." So Jesus was, you know, he was talking to his disciples, and he was saying how the world is seeking stuff, and they're putting their faith and trust in stuff. But we need to put our faith and trust in God. Amen. Amen. We need to trust God, and we need to put our faith and trust in God's ability as we seek his kingdom to bless us. Amen. We know that the kingdom of darkness operates in pride, but the kingdom of God operates in humility. And we discover that Satan fell when he spoke his I wills. Remember that? He said, "I will ascend to heaven," in Isaiah 14:12-14. "I will exalt my throne above the sun, above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the congregation on the furthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I'll be like the Most High." And this was Satan, and he had a, you know, Satan had a good position in God before he got lifted up in pride, and he lost his position. But you know what? I believe that God wants to elevate us. Do you believe that today? I believe that God wants to raise us up. And I believe that humility is the pathway of being raised up in God. Somebody say amen on that. Amen. Amen. You guys are quiet today. Amen. So in contrast, humility is the way. Think about this. Sometimes it's not easy obeying God. Can I get it? I got some amens here. Sometimes it's not easy, but you know, the key to our faith life, are you ready for this, is surrender. That's the key to our faith life. And it's hard. You know, it's hard to surrender. I mean, to our will, you know, because we want it our way. You know, I think, you know, Burger King, you can have it your way. Amen. That Burger King slogan, right? You can have it your way. And so we want it our way, but you know, the kingdom of God is God's way or the highway. And I don't want the highway to hell. I don't want that highway. I want the stair steps to heaven. Amen. The stair steps to heaven, and our faith will get us to heaven. Amen. And I love that. So Jesus, you know, I'm going to say this. A lot of people think it was easy for Jesus to follow the will of God. Do you know that Jesus, it wasn't easy for Jesus to follow the will of God. And remember that Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And this was right before he was going to be, betrayed by Judas, taken in by the soldiers. And he was agonizing in prayer about the will of God. Has anybody ever agonized in prayer about the will of God? Like, God, are you sure about this? Do you really want me to do this? Do you really want me to go to Exceed Life? You know, do you ever agonize about the will of God? But and I'm going to say this. Prayer is the key to get you through the agony and get you into the peace. Amen. See, what some of us are doing, we're agonizing in our walk with God where we need to be, you know, enjoying our walk with God. And it says here in Matthew 26, 39, talking about Jesus, he said, he went a little further and fell on his face praying, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not as I will, but as your will." Think about that. And, you know, this is key here, because if we're going to follow God, it has to be God's will in our life. Somebody say amen on that. And so we see that Jesus humbled himself to go to the cross, and he said, not his will, but God's will. And in Philippians 2:8, it says, "And being found in appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even to death on the cross." And so he humbled himself to the death on the cross. So if he can humble himself to follow God, how about us? How about us? Amen. And then, you know, there's always a blessing in following God. There's always a payoff in obeying God. And in Philippians 2:9, it says, "Therefore God has also highly exalted him," Jesus, "and given him the name which is above every name." So he got the name above every name. Then it says here that the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. That's powerful. That's powerful. So Jesus, you could say that God gave him a name. Then that name is above every name because he submitted to the will of God. We talked about last, the second session on Kingdoms, Powers, Part 2, greed versus generosity. And the devil is a greedy character. The devil is a taker, and he's not a giver. And we don't want to operate in pride, and we don't want to operate in greed, and we can at times in our lives. Can I get an amen there? Sometimes we don't want to give away what God wants us to give away. Sometimes we want to hold on to what we have because you never know, a rainy day might come. Amen. But God is encouraging us to be givers. Amen. And so what is the key to giving is a heart of gratitude. When you think about all that God has given you, it should be our response to give back to God. Because I'm telling you, there's a lot of people on the highway to hell. But thank God we're not. Thank God that how many people are heaven bound in here? Glory to God. We're heaven bound people. We're not in the kingdom of darkness anymore. We're not living our lives for ourselves anymore. We're living our lives for God. Amen. I'm here for God. First and foremost. Second, I'm here for you. But first and foremost, I'm here for God. And I love serving you. And I thank God for you guys because you guys are amazing. I have the best congregation in Virginia Beach. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. The finest people in Virginia Beach. Hallelujah. Attend Exceed Life Church. Glory to God. Amen. I'm not pumping you up this morning. Amen. I truly believe that. So if you're going to be giving, glory to God, if you're going to, you have to create an attitude of thankfulness, which promotes us to really give because we want to give to God. And in 2 Corinthians 9:6, it says, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly, but he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." So it's up to us if we're going to reap sparingly or if we're going to reap bountifully. I want the second part. I want to reap bountifully, but it's going to depend on us if we sow sparingly or if we sow bountifully. Amen. And then he says here, and because there's always a payoff to obedience, it says here that let's continue on this scripture. "Let each one give as his purpose and his heart, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." Our attitude has everything to do behind our giving. And our attitude, God doesn't want to pull your teeth to give. Amen. He doesn't want you giving begrudgingly. He wants you giving heartily, happily and with a cheerful heart. That's where you're going to receive the best from God. And then the payoff is in 2 Corinthians 9:8, God is able. Somebody say, God is able. He's able to make all grace abound towards you that you may have all sufficient. I like that word all. Amen. All grace, amen, bound for you. You have all sufficiency in all things that you may have an abundance for every good work. Does God want you walking in abundance? Yes. And again, I will say yes. He doesn't want you broke, busted, or disgusted. He wants you walking in the overflow. Amen. Somebody say, I'm there. Amen. You got to speak your faith now. You're there. You're in the overflow. Amen. And so I love that. And last week we focused on fear over faith. And we discovered that many people are bound by the fear of people. People are afraid of what other people will think. That's why the number one fear in America is getting in front of a group of people and talking. That's the number one fear. Amen. Because people are afraid, you know, what are they going to think of me? Are they going to like me or are they going to ditch me? You know, are they, you know, and so, you know, the Bible says when you preach and you're preaching in front of a crowd, don't look at the faces of the people. Amen. You can get in trouble. Amen. Don't focus on their faces. Focus on Jesus's face. Amen. Focus on him. And so there, that fear of people keeps people from receiving Jesus. Why is that? Because there's people in other religions that hear about Jesus, but they don't want to receive Jesus because they don't want to lose their religious friends. Or they're afraid of what their religious friends are going to say about them. You got Jesus in your life. You went the Jesus route. And so they're afraid. So religion binds people in fear, keeping them from moving forward in God by receiving Jesus. And I'm telling you, don't let your friends, your unsaved friends, keep you from receiving Jesus. Amen. And get them saved so you can have saved friends, glory to God. And it says in Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. So the key to overcoming the fear of man is to honor and trust God no matter what people and culture is trying to get you to bow down to. Now, we know this, that Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. I can't say that three times fast. Amen. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were Hebrews that were taken in by Nebuchadnezzar, and he recruited them to be his advisors. He trained them. But he made a statue of gold, and he said for the people to bow down before that statue of gold. But Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego would not be a king pleaser. Amen? They would not bow down to that golden idol. Say, I'm not bowing down to the golden idols of this world. And so they did not bow. And he says, if you don't bow, you burn. And so he gave them a second chance when they were the only ones standing, when everybody else bowed down when they heard the music. And so he brought them up. He said, I'll give you one more chance, amen, to bow down or burn. And they said, we are not going to bow down to you. You know, even if God doesn't deliver us, we will not bow down. And they got thrown in the fiery furnace. But guess what? The payoff. Jesus was in the fiery furnace with them. And they came out of that fiery furnace without the smell of smoke on their clothes. And what did the king do? The king says, let everybody worship the God of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Amen. And so what? And then the king honored them even more. What am I saying? When you don't bow down to the world and the world system, we're not called to bow down to the world. We're called to bow down to Jesus. And sometimes it may cost us something. Sometimes it may cost us maybe some friends or maybe some acquaintances. But even if it costs you, it will pay off at the end. Somebody say yes and amen. So I want to continue my message, amen, on the series of Kingdom Powers, part 4, sickness versus healing. The main question that Christians might ask today, where does sickness come from? That's the main question. Some people say, well, you know, maybe, you know, God is in charge of everything. And since he's in charge, he's in large. And if something comes in your life in sickness, maybe God is behind that. Because God wants to bring some kind of special purpose out of it in your life. And it sounds great. It sounds like that's a wonderful, pious way of looking at it. But if you believe that God is bringing sickness in your life, then there's no need for you to fight against it. That's a good statement right there. If you believe God's in this, then let God do its work. Let the sickness do its work. Don't fight against it. Don't go to the doctor, amen? Because you'd be going against God's will. Because let the sickness do its work. But I don't believe that. That sickness is of God. Sickness is of the devil. We know that. And that's because we know that in this church. But there's many churches across this nation and across the world that will preach sickness is a blessing to perfect your life. And you know what? The Old Testament and the New Testament calls sickness a curse. It's a curse. I may have been born at night, but I wasn't born last night. And you don't have to tell me if sickness is good or bad. I can tell you, I've been sick and it's bad. Sickness is bad. There's nothing good about sickness. It doesn't make me want to worship. It makes me want to gripe and complain. Has anybody been there? Has anybody been there? I'm telling you, when I'm under attack, I'm not this happy person. Woo, glory, glory to God. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? No, I'm like almost complaining about it. Oh, honey, I feel like the last rose of summer. You know, amen. That's my dad colloquial expression. The last rose of summer. Amen. In other words, I feel like I've been rode hard and put away wet. You know, I think that's a horse term. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. And we make these colloquial expressions. But I'm telling you, God wants us living the abundant life. Do you believe that today? Now, that look at this in Luke 13:10-13. This is powerful. He says, now he was teaching, talking about Jesus. Now he was teaching one in the synagogue on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. Somebody say that's a long time. 18 years. And was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. And he laid his hands on her. And immediately she was made straight and glorified God. See, healing causes you to worship. I'm telling you, healing will cause you to worship God, to glorify God. I don't know if she glorified God before that. It's not saying, maybe she might have, but it's saying she glorified God after that. She may have been in too much pain to glorify God before that. I'm telling you that. And so I'm not saying that you don't glorify God in your sickness. I think you need to. Amen. I think that's going to be a key to seeing the blessing of healing in your life. And so he says here, but the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath day. These religious people were out of their minds. They could not see the blessing and the grace of God working on that Sabbath day. And the Sabbath is a day of rest. So should it be on the Sabbath that you're resting from your infirmities? Shouldn't that be the best day? And then they're saying, they ought to come back another day. And then the Lord answered, and I love the way Jesus talks to the Pharisees, hypocrite. Hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox and donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? So, they, you know, in other words, they had more care for their animals than they had for people. So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath? I hope you didn't miss it here. He said it was Satan that bound her for 18. It wasn't God perfecting her. It wasn't God binding her up. It wasn't God trying to bring more piety, whatever that word means, into her life. No, it was the devil trying to keep her really from worshiping God. Do you believe that today? The devil wants to keep you from worshiping God. And I'm not going to stop worshiping God. No matter what the devil is trying to put on me, even the kitchen sink, I'm going to keep worshiping God. Amen? And in Acts 10:38, talking about the devil is behind sickness, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. I love that. So we see here that Jesus was anointed to heal and deliver people, and they were being oppressed by who? God? No, they were being oppressed by the devil. So the devil, and then we know John 10:10, which is one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, the second part of it, actually. But it says here that the thief does not come except to steal, kill, and to destroy, but I come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. And I'm going to say this, I've been sick and I've been well, and well is much better. I've been broke and now I'm well off, and well off is much better than being broke. Amen. Amen. I've had wrecked relationships at one time, and now I have good relationships, and better relationships is better. Glory to God. That's called the abundant life. And that's what God's calling each one of us to walk in, is that abundant life of Jesus. Amen. The next question you might ask in dealing with sickness or oppression, is it God's will for you to be sick? Yeah, the devil may put it on us. I agree with you there, Pastor. But God will allow the devil to attack your life at times, right? He will allow you. Is that right? No, I don't believe that. I believe that God gives us power. Everything that Jesus did on the cross, and when he sat down at the right hand of the Father, he said, "It is finished." What does that mean? That means that the power, because he said, "Behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Amen. God has given us the power to do something about the devil. So when Jesus sat down, he said, "It is finished." Why? Because the power has been given to us. Somebody say, "I have the power." You got to take that power in the name of Jesus and command that sickness to get out of your lives. Can I get a witness in the house today? Amen. And in Matthew 8, 1 and 3, it says, "When he had come down from the mountain," talking about Jesus, "great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshiped him." This leper worshiped Jesus in his sickness. This one worshiped him in his sickness. And he said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus put out his hand, touched him, saying, "I am willing, be cleansed." Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. So we see here that Jesus is the exact personification of God. Jesus said, "If you see me, the works that I do, the Father's doing those works in me." Right. Is that right? Yeah. And so if Jesus really is a carbon copy of God the Father on this planet. Yes. And so if Jesus said, "I'm willing for you to be healed," it's God saying, "I am willing for you to be healed." And we know that God's not a respecter of persons. If he's done it for one, he will do it for another. Amen. Say amen on that. Amen. And so we have to understand that Jesus always did what the Father would do. Amen. And this is interesting here in Mark 6:1-6. There's one place in the scriptures where Jesus couldn't do mighty miracles. You think about this. Jesus did a lot of amazing things. And you think he's the Son of God. And he should be able to do mighty miracles. But there's one place where Jesus was hindered. Can Jesus be hindered in our life? That's the question. Can we hinder Jesus from manifesting his miracle-working power in our lives? I would have to say yes. We can hinder Jesus. And it says here in Mark 6, 1 through 6, when he went out there, came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. Many hearing were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, and Joseph, and Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? So they were offended of him. I'm going to say this, don't get offended with God in your sickness. Don't get mad at God because God is not putting it on you. It's the devil trying to destroy your life. Don't ever get angry with God. Amen. And if you do, repent really fast. Say, I'm sorry, Lord, I got mad at you. Amen. And get back into relationship with the Lord. And Jesus said, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, in his own house. Now, he could do no mighty works there. Notice it says that it doesn't say he would do no mighty works. He said he could do no mighty works. Not that he would do no mighty works. He could. That means that Jesus, the power that he wanted to present in his hometown, he couldn't do it. Why? Because except he did heal some few sick people and healed them. He couldn't do any mighty miracles, another translation says, because of their unbelief. Somebody say, I'm a believing believer. And the way you believe about something, if you believe that God is putting sickness on you to teach you something, to bring you through the trials and the fire of life, then you may not fight against it. You may accept it and you may die in it. But I'm not gonna accept what the devil is trying to give me. I'm not gonna accept that package. I'm gonna renounce it, and I'm not gonna accept it. Amen. The third question today is sickness oppression. Is it greater than healing and deliverance? See, there's good Christian people, even leaders in the body of Christ that die of disease. People like, why did they get this? Well, maybe they didn't understand how faith operates. They may be able to preach a good salvation message, but maybe they don't understand because the Bible says, my people perish because they lack knowledge. And if you lack knowledge in the area of healing or blessing, then you may not be able to partake of it. And so he says, my people perish, God's people. Why? Because they lack knowledge. That's the reason why I preach once a month on healing. Why? Because I want you to keep thinking about it. Why? Because the devil's coming against each one of us. And we're going to be attacked every once in a while in our lives. Bet you bottom dollar it's coming your way. But you're going to have to learn to stand against those attacks. Say, I'm standing. And so I believe that. So the third question is, sickness pressure, is it greater than healing or deliverance? Even though some people would say they pray and they still die of sickness. Listen, there are still people that are going to end up in hell even though the gospel is preached to them. Why? They don't receive Jesus. Not everybody gets saved that hears the gospel. And not everybody gets healed, amen, that say they're believing God for healing. Is that right? Because there's something we have to do. Our words, loose lips, can sink ships. And we can pray a good prayer, but say a bad confession. And if you pray a good prayer and say a bad confession, then you're nullifying your good prayer. And now your confession is ruling and dominating your life. Somebody say, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. Stop focusing on your sickness and start focusing on Jesus' stripes. Amen? I love that. And so a demonstration of power is in Exodus. So we're going to go back to Exodus in 7, 8, and 9. And in Exodus 7, 8, and 9, the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron saying, when Pharaoh speaks to you saying, show a miracle for yourselves, Then you shall say to Aaron, take your rod, cast it before Pharaoh, and let it become a serpent. So God gave Moses a staff that would miraculously turn into a serpent, a snake. So Moses and Aaron, reading on, went into Pharaoh, and they did so just as the Lord commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent or a snake. But Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, so the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments. For every man threw down his rod, and they became serpents. So this is interesting, that the magicians, that the sorceries that they were practicing, in other words, see, the devil can't create, he can only copy. I'm going to say again, the devil can't create anything, he can only try to copy God. And that's all he can do, and he's a copycat. That's all he does. But notice this. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. So what I'm saying to you today? I'm saying God's power and that staff that Aaron threw down, that staff became a king snake. And that king snake swallowed up all those other snakes. In other words, you got King Jesus working on your behalf. And King Jesus is going to swallow up every disease that's working in your lives. Say amen to that. And so I love that. So this is demonstrating the power of God. Amen. And so we want to do that. So the devil has power, but God has greater power. I'm not denying the fact the devil has power. I'm not denying the fact that the devil can do some things. We know that. But God has ultimate power. Amen? No matter what you're dealing with, God is greater. And you might be dealing with sickness or demonic oppression. You know what demonic oppression is? Oppression is when the enemy's working against your mind, trying to depress you, trying to take all the hope out of you. And I'm telling you, the devil will attack Christians in that area where we don't even want to leave our bedroom. We want to pull down the blinds and not leave. But I'm telling you, open those blinds up and let the light of the glorious light of God's power radiate in your room. And so I love that. So the Word of God will bring the light and will show up any darkness in our lives. And let's look at this story here. And it's in Mark 5, 1 and 2, and working our way down. It says, then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he come out of the boat, talking about Jesus, immediately there met him in the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had dwelling among the tombs. No one could bind him, not even the chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always at night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out, cutting himself with stones. So we see here that this man had some problems. This man had some problems. Would you agree with me there? The man had problems. Have you ever met anybody that had problems? You know, cutting. There's people that the devil is oppressing them and they cut on their skin. That's happening today. It's the devil working and getting people to mutilate their bodies. Mutilate their bodies. Amen? And you wouldn't know that I took speech for 6 years. Glory to God. Couldn't speak English well. Amen. And now I'm preaching for a lemon. How ironic is that? So glory to God. Mutilate. I got it. Amen. My teacher would be proud of me. Amen. And so again, And so he had problems. He was roaming around in the tombs. He was excommunicated. See, the devil wants to get you away from people. The devil wants to get you by yourself. And the devil can get you by yourself, especially in the tombs, you're in trouble. Because all it is dead people in tombs. Amen? And then he had supernatural strength, that they tried to control this man that had demonic power, but he would break the chains. And then notice that he was unclothed. He was naked. What does the devil want to do? He wants to get you stripping. Amen. The devil wants to get you to take your clothes off. Amen. Why? Because he wants you to look like an animal. He's trying to bring man, the creation of God, down to a level of an animal. And we're not animals. We're the creation of God. We're the highest creation that God ever created on this planet, glory to God. We're the top of the food chain, glory to God. And he says, and notice that he was afflicting himself and he was crying out torment. He was a tormented soul. And looking at this on the offset, it looked like that really he had no hope. And really, without Jesus, he had no hope. This man was bound up by an unclean spirit, and one unclean spirit controls many spirits. Because this man had many spirits, the unclean spirit is the gatekeeper of more spirits that can come into a person's body and try to destroy their lives. That's why you got to be careful, because sin can open the door to a spirit, and that spirit can try to control our lives and destroy us. And that's the reason why we don't want to be playing with sin, because that's a door opener. I'm preaching today. I know it's pretty serious today, but it's a door opener for the devil to work in our lives. Can I get a witness in the house today? And so this is interesting. It says that Mark 5, 6, we're going to work with that. When he saw Jesus afar, he ran and worshiped him. Now, this man had demonic spirits attacking his life. He was a hot mess, but he had enough sense to worship Jesus. Listen, you can be a hot mess in your life, but if you just get on your knees, if you just worship God, if you start praising God, I'm telling you, you won't be a hot mess anymore. God will radically change your lives. Just worship at the feet of Jesus. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, and this is the Spirit speaking through him, "What do I have to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me." For he said to him, "Come out of this man, unclean spirit." Then he asked him, "What is your name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country, because these spirits are like familiar spirits, and they like to stay in one vicinity. And he says in Mark, now a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. So the demons begged him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter them." At once Jesus gave them permission, and then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. This is an interesting thought. Not even a pig wanted a demon in them. The pigs. Think about, these are animals. They said, "I don't want any part of these demonic spirits. We're going to go off ourselves in the water." Think about that. Not even a pig wanted a demonic spirit. I'm telling you, there are demonic spirits out here. That's part of the kingdom of darkness, but we're part of the kingdom of light. And as we walk in the kingdom of light, in obedience to the word of God, there can be a shield protecting us from these demonic spirits that's trying to get access into our lives. You believe that today? And it says here, and so it says here, the next verse says, then they came to Jesus, talking about the crowd that saw what happened. And they saw the demon-possessed man sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. See, the devil wants to put fear on people. And those who saw it told them how it happened to him and had been demon-possessed about the swine. Then they begin to plead with Jesus to depart from their region. Why would these people, that a good work has been done, why would they want Jesus out of their region? Because they were herding pigs. It affected their commerce. It affected their money. They didn't care about that guy. That guy was keeping unwanted people from coming in that island. That was their watchdog. Amen. But it was affecting their money. In other words, we should always put people above money. Amen. And that's a good place to say amen. Amen. And so when he got into the boat, when Jesus got in the boat, he had the demon-possessed man begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends, tell them the great things the Lord has done to you, done for you, and how he has compassion on you. And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis and all that Jesus has done for him, and all marveled. So we see here that the demons could not keep this man from worshiping Jesus. That's the key. And so this man got free. Jesus had the power to cast out the legion of demons. The demons could not keep a hold of that man. The power of Jesus is greater. People were scared, and they bid Jesus to leave their vicinity, but Jesus did do something good. He set that man free, and that man was clothed in his right mind, and that man received a ministry, and he became an evangelist on that island. So the moral of this account, your mess, when Jesus touches you, can become your message. Your test in the struggle of your life, when Jesus sets you free, can become your testimony. Your misery can become your ministry when Jesus delivers you. Amen? So we discover today that the devil is behind sickness and Jesus is behind healing. God's will for you always is to be healed and delivered. We can hinder God's miracle power working in our lives by offense and unbelief. God's power to heal and deliver is greater than the devil's power to make us sick or depress us. And God's plan for our life is ministry out of our misery. And when we take these keys and we walk out these keys, you're going to be walking in freedom, you'll have ministry, you'll have a testimony, and you'll be all that God called you to be. Did you receive it today? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank you that you are great and mighty and glorious, and I thank you for these precious people here in the audience and those that are watching and listening. And perhaps you never made a faith confession of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is calling you into the kingdom of light. He wants you to be a part of his kingdom. And to do that, you must confess the lordship of Jesus Christ. So if you can pray this simple prayer and mean your heart, I believe you can be translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear son's love, of the kingdom of light. Just say this and mean in your heart. Say, dear God, I believe, Jesus, you died on the cross for my sins. I believe, Jesus, you were raised from the dead to save me. I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that for the first time listening or watching, we believe you got born again. If you're here locally in the area, come out, be a part of Exceed Life Church. We want you to be a part of the church. If you're not here locally, find a good church home where you can grow in Christ and keep tuning in. We'll see you next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. Amen.
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.